I hope that things change in Minnesota after the assassination of Melissa Hortman. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. It is Friday. We're glad to have you with us as we enter our fourth year of Afternoon Drive Radio here on CCO. Dan and I are so grateful for you listening and joining the conversation every day. We'll talk a little bit more on that about that coming up in about 40 minutes here on CCO. I want to start talking about the Hortmans and talking about where we go from here. Because in the immediate aftermath, there was so much conversation about changing the way that we talk about political differences, changing the way that we interact with each other, going after policies instead of people. The lesson that if our temperatures are so heated on politics, so heated that someone, no matter what sort of ridiculous, crazy, deranged motivations led somebody to go create a list of political leaders, a list of Democrats that this guy wanted potentially to kill. And in fact, he went to four different legislators' houses that early Saturday morning. Do you think anything will change? 651-461-9226. I want to start with my friend Blois Olson, who wrote, I think, very passionately and emotionally about this in his Morning Take newsletter, part of the daily agenda that Blois puts out every day. And he's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Because Blois, I think, like, obviously, as we have people kind of waiting and, you know, circling the Capitol building to pay their respects, to me, that's not enough. Paying the respects, it's important. But what, how do we change? Do we change going forward? And you had thoughts about that today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jason. You know, it came from some of my immediate thoughts the Saturday morning you and I spoke on the air, is that we don't treat our elected officials the same way we treat our military or our police. We certainly don't treat the people who work in public service, from teachers to firefighters, on a whole, the same way. And if you think deep into why our country is what it is, it's public service. And Melissa Hortman was as selfless of a politician as you're going to find. She showed her work. She didn't talk about her work. And so I guess the one thing that I tried to say is, let's just honor all public service. And if there are bad actors, they are just that. But as a whole, we have to be more selfless in our service. And I would say more selfless for me, and hopefully others, in the way they talk about these issues, the way they talk about these politicians, the way, like, they're there to serve. They spend time away from their families. They give up bigger jobs. And so that's the legacy that I want Minnesota to take from this, is that we all need to just think about the better common good,
right,
and not about our own individual interests.
Yeah, there. You wrote that these past few years of division in our state and our country have been filled with a decline and deterioration of trust. And you and I were talking about this on the phone the other day, that a lot of our discussion and the way we treat each other has sort of been in this. It's been stuck in disputes about the COVID era, especially, that people have made so personal instead of being reasonable disagreements, which I think there are reasonable disagreements about policy decisions. But instead it becomes, I hate this guy, I hate this woman. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Well, and that's where I will say, I hope it stops. I can't go so far as to say it has to stop, because I think that's where I think the division comes. I can't tell someone else what to do.
Right.
I believe I can only seed the thought that there's a different way to think. There's a different way to act in these times. Because if I know my reaction when somebody tells me what to do, I still have a rebellious streak. No, right. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So I think it's the preaching and the projection we can't do. We just have to remind people every day that there's a different tone and there's a different calmness that we deserve. Our democracy deserves, and frankly, our kids deserve. Because I have two 20-something kids, and they've grown up in a strange way, in this division between high school and the 2016 election and the 2020 election and the 2024 election. So,
very good. Blois, thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate what you wrote today. You can see Blois's morning take at thedailyagenda.com, and that'll get you right to that. So let's get reaction to what Blois has said at 651-461-9226. Do you think anything will change? I will tell you that I am concerned that we're going to have fewer people running for office. Because, I don't know, how do you sit down with your spouse today and say, I'm thinking about running for office? When you look at the fact that here is Melissa Hortman, her husband, Mark, and their dog lying in state in the Capitol building in Minnesota. How do you do that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you get your family on board. Is it worth it? I've always thought that it is worth it, but here we are with two people who are dead, two more people. Don't forget about John and Yvette Hoffman and their daughter who had to witness it and call 911. According to Yvette, all three of them were lined up essentially to be executed by this guy. To be a state senator, a state rep? I'm out. I understand why people would say no way. Lots of texts at 651-461-9226. Jason, political leaders need to lead the way in how they speak and treat everyone. I wonder about that. Because if we didn't like this stuff, they wouldn't talk this way. If we didn't eat it up. If we didn't retweet it or give it the likes or on and on and on. Now, as always, most people are not Vance Belter, right? Most people are not that. So, I don't know. It is hard to know. And it's also dangerous to make a direct line to like, oh, well, this level of political diatribe and this level of rhetoric led this guy to do this. I don't want to go that far. But I do think that this gives us a chance to say, is this really what we're good with? Is this really where we're at? Because it's up to us as voters to say, we're not going to keep sending. And you know who they are. There are certain legislative leaders, certain legislators who traffic in this sort of nonsense. And we vote for them. So until we're willing to do that, I got to be honest, I am not extremely optimistic that there's going to be lasting change from this until we actually punish people at the ballot box. And I think we, of late, have made the decision that we don't care. And maybe it's because we don't have great candidates on both sides, but I think overall voters have made the choice that they don't really care about character, that they care about whatever issue is at their disposal, whatever their major issue is, that's what they care about. Are you willing to vote for someone that you disagree with on the issues in order to punish someone who is just a bad actor? I don't know. I don't think most people are there. Are you? 651-461-9226. Texters say we're avoiding Trump. Let's talk about that. We'll talk about that when we come back here on CCO. We really want to blame anybody but ourselves. That's what I'm getting on the text line at 651-461-9226. Texture asking about Donald Trump, saying I'm avoiding Donald Trump. We've talked about Donald Trump and his rhetoric for a long time. I think the people have chosen, right? He got 40-some percent of Minnesotans who said we don't who either said we don't care about the rhetoric, or they, you know, didn't like Kamala Harris so much that they just voted for Trump. But to me, that is still, it's not necessarily an endorsement where you say I'm into it, but it is a, it's an intentional avoidance of the issue, right?
Some sort of tacit approval, maybe, I guess.
Maybe.
Be the way to put it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's no question that the president, and upon his entree into the political stage, has contributed greatly to the nature of rhetoric in the political world right now. And having said that, if you want to delude yourself into thinking that when he steps off that stage, that suddenly everything's going to go back to the way it was, I think you're kidding yourself. It's not as simple as he's a symptom, not a cause, but he's right. Not the sole singular cause in this. We were already heading down this road. He just threw some gas on the fire.
My gut is that he's emboldened some of the amateur hour politicians,
sure,
to let her rip because you don't necessarily pay a price for it. And ultimately, if that's what we decide in our voting choices, that's what we decide, right? Let's go to the phones here. Oh, Mark dropped off. No problem. Media and their coverage of politicians, what they ask, points out one texter, maybe no media. Media shouldn't attempt to ask zinger questions looking for a zinger answer. I do think when you look at media in the broadest sense, we are in a time where so many people have access to a microphone and a megaphone and an audience. And if you define media as like every podcaster, we're definitely in a negative environment when it comes to people who can just say whatever they want and have an audience for.
But to your earlier point, talking about, you know, what is our responsibility as citizens, as community members, those zinger questions seeking the zinger answers,
yeah,
only get asked and answered if we react to it, right?
Yeah.
If we feed that fire. They're doing, you know, you want to say they're just doing it for the clicks? Well, who's clicking? It's us.
Yeah, no one wants to take ownership for the fact that, like, we do like conflict. We do. We like the metaphor that has always been around in politics, that it's a war. It's us against them. But I think that used to be thought of as a metaphor, not as a literal thing. And today, I think too many people take it literally. Jason, the whole ecosystem of politics, social media, news media feed off each other and rewards attention-seeking behavior. Sorry, but this now defines the modern GOP. I do think, the Republicans are the best at sort of playing the troll game right now. I think, you know, I've looked at the rhetoric that you see in Minneapolis, for example, where it's pretty much a one-party city. It's a Democratic city. And so I wouldn't say the Democrats are off the hook on this kind of behavior.
Absolutely
not. And Tim Walz himself, you know, since the assassination, I don't think we've seen the same rhetoric that we heard from Tim Walz before, which I applaud. Like, I also think we have to be a little better at holding people accountable for things they've done wrong in the past, but also moving forward and letting them be better. So a lot of texters talked about Walter Hudson, who we had on this show, and he is, I described him as a flamethrower. He is in a very safe Republican district. There's no risk for him.
And he didn't deny that when you characterized him that way.
But he has been very, without backing down on his politics or his policy belief, I think he has struck a different tone. And I hope it sticks. I hope it sticks. Now, you know who gave him grief for striking that conciliatory tone? Republicans.
Yes.
People on his side. Not all Republicans, but people on his side. Texter saying, and I think this is very interesting. This idea that the policies matter more than the person. Texter, although character matters, my life is dramatically more impacted by policies than by personality. Unless you're voting for a homecoming king, I'm not too concerned with whether or not I like a candidate as a person. I believe that is a very flawed way of electing representatives. And it's part of why we have what we have today, that we have convinced ourselves that we are so familiar with every policy position of every person running for office, that we are so above reproach because I'm not judging on personality. I agree with the opinions. And I think it's a load of crap. I think most people are not that familiar with every single opinion of every single political candidate. I believe the most important things that come up during a legislative session, especially when you're talking about a governor or a president, are not the things that they're campaigning on at all. Donald Trump was not talking about Iran and Israel during the campaign. He was saying he was ending all of the forever wars. But when push comes to shove, that's what gets in the way. Tim Walz, when he was running for office, talking about one Minnesota, everybody runs on like, you know, I'm going to do this on taxes. Yeah. We're going to bring people together. And what has defined the Tim Walz years? COVID and the murder of George Floyd. Two things that were not part of a campaign, were not really foreseeable. And so this is why I think we could give a little more value to those personality traits, because that is what ultimately, to me, makes the difference. Now, yes, policy matters. There is a difference between a Democrat and a Republican. But all things equal, I would take the person that I think is going to be a more moral, that cares about people, that cares about the people of their district or of their state or whatever. I personally prioritize that more than any specific issue.
It's also interesting when you look at it from a broader perspective, right? It's a seismic sea change from, say, 30 years ago. When folks on the right were screaming about character mattering more than policy and so on and so forth, folks on the left were saying, ah, well, I don't know, I care more about policy than what President Clinton's right. doing in the Oval Office. Yeah. Remember that whole conversation? And now we've flipped 180. So do we really care one about more, you know, one or the other, or do we just want our guy? We just want to stick up for our guy.
I think we just want.
And if our guy's behaving badly, then policy matters more than character. If it's the other side's guy that's behaving badly, well, then we just don't care enough about character.
You nailed it. Cook nailed it. Sometimes he nails it, and then we hit the button. It's 3:30. We're going to break when we come back. I mean, I don't know. Usually, I have one more thing to say after you nail it. And you nailed it. We want our guy. Will that change? That's why I'm not super optimistic that there will be longstanding change. But all I can do, all you can do, is control yourself. And I am dedicated to making sure we talk about issues instead of making these issues so personal. So we'll still call out people when they screw up, but I think we can do it in a way that's, I don't know, it's not like I don't need to apologize for something I'm not doing. This is not exactly hate radio on CCO. So we're not going to do that. Why don't we break? Dan is going to geek out. We love this segment. Dan is an unabashed geek in the best way, and sometimes in a way that you want to gong. Do you want to give Dan Cook the green light? Can you give people a little tease as to what the topic's going to be? Maybe you can, because you can start gonging or green lighting based on just what the topic is.
All I'm going to say is we're headed back to space.
Okay.
All right.
Green light or gong at 651-461-9226 in just a minute here on CCO.
Start the clock. Dan Cook now has 3 minutes to geek out on something. And you get to text in with a vote on whether it's halfway interesting or if the topic should never again be brought up in public. Again.
Nerd alert!
Let's set things up for this edition of Dan Geeks Out.
Streaming live on YouTube, we have visual aids for today's Dan Geeks Out segment at youtube.com/WCCO radio. So click on live. You can see Dan Geek Out. And of course, it's about space again. So it's an immediate gong for me, but you get to weigh in.
Why would you? You don't even want to hear what it is?
Nope. So that's one gong. 651-461-9226. Is where you get to vote with a green light or a gong. Are you ready for this, Dan?
Shall we start the timer?
Let's start the timer. You have 3 minutes, Dan Cook.
All right. So You're going to see a small picture there. You can go ahead and blow that up at some point. This is from an observatory down in Chile called the Vera C. Rubin Observatory.
What's it called?
The Vera, V-E-R-A, C. Rubin Observatory.
Okay.
This is one of the most incredible space pictures you're ever going to see. Because in that space picture, and you can Google this if you want to see it at home if you're not watching on YouTube. But in that picture that you're looking at right now,
it looks like a smudgy iPhone screen.
Every single one of those smudges is a galaxy. There are 10 million galaxies in that picture alone. And the reason that they can get this huge swath is because this is the largest HD camera ever made. It's literally the size of a small car. And so every 3 nights, this observatory can map essentially the entirety of the Southern Hemisphere sky. And it's just going to keep doing that and layering those images and layering those images and layering those images. You get such fine detail here. This project has discovered over 2,000 asteroids we didn't know about. Yes. Click on the next picture because I want you to see how this next picture labels what we know are galaxies out there, galaxies that we've seen before.
651-461-9226. You can green light this nonsense or you can gong it.
Look how many galaxies are in this. This is incredible. This is amazing. And if you want some kind of perspective here, go ahead and go to the third picture, because what you're going to see in this third picture...
Oh, my God. Three pictures?
There's three pictures. What? So you see there's a guy on the left side of that picture there. It's got some spikes marks coming out of it. There's a few of those scattered throughout the picture. Those are called diffraction spikes. If you have that, that means that's a star. Everything else in that picture is a galaxy.
What are these little googly eyes that look like we're at the cabaret?
Those are spiral galaxies, large spiral galaxies that are actually closer to Earth than all of those little tiny ones.
How do we know that this image isn't just like some Photoshop goober? Like...
Why on Earth would they do that? That makes no sense whatsoever. By the time that they're done with this project, they're going to have imaged nearly 20 billion, with a B, 20 billion galaxies. There's 10 million in this picture alone. By the time that they're done with all this, 20 billion.
When you found some aliens, get back to us. There's a gongaroo.
Find some aliens, please, with the alien stuff. One image from this camera is equivalent to basically 45 full moons. So if you can picture what the moon
looks
like when it's full, that's how big of a swath of sky one image from this camera is able to do. And one of the cool things that they're going to try and do here is find the areas of space where they think dark matter exists. Dark matter is mass in the universe that makes up about 85% of the total mass of the universe. We just don't know what it is. So here we are. We're going to find all kinds of crazy new information from this one observatory down in Chile. But that picture, that first picture, if you put that back up to me, 10 million galaxies. It's incredible what this thing is able to pull up. It's one of the most insane pictures I've ever seen in my life, and I love it.
Really great. Here, let me tally up the votes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you count this up for me? This is the problem. We need like one more person
working on
this show.
Votes.
All right, here we go. Oh, man, a lot of green lights coming in at the last minute.
Of course.
All right, so we've got green light, yep. Green light, green light, no. Green light, green light, green light, green light, gong.
Okay.
Green light, gong, green light. Green light, gong.
Okay.
So I'm counting 5 gongs and 12 green lights.
Okay, I had 11 green lights and 4 gongs, but I don't know that I counted your gongs.
Well, my gong I added in. Yeah.
Either way, it's a crushing victory for me and the Vera C. Rubin Observatory in Chile. Honestly, folks, if you don't, look up the Rubin Observatory on Instagram. They publish all the pictures there, or you can Google it. These are just insane pictures of the night sky. It is so beautiful. Just the base nature of nature is so amazing to be able to see all these different colors and all these different galaxies. You're talking about the Milky Way galaxy is a fairly average size galaxy. We have 400 billion stars in the Milky Way alone. Several of these galaxies, many of these galaxies, are multiple times the size of the Milky Way. And you start thinking on those orders of magnitude, how big these things are, how far away they must be to appear this small in these pictures. It is just crazy, the scope of the galaxy, the beauty of the galaxy.
Do you have any favorites in here? How do you feel about HD 108058? NGC9242.
Well, if I'm going to talk about like favorite
KO Virginis,
you know,
am I saying that right?
I have no idea. You're going to talk about like favorites when it comes to galaxies. Obviously, Milky Way is number one because
sure,
that's where
yeah,
we are.
You're one of us. You're just
it's typical. Like when people ask you what your favorite planet is. Well, let's start with Earth. Let's just start with Earth. But the Andromeda Galaxy is the next nearest galaxy to us. And so you can get some beautiful, beautiful images of Andromeda, which is, again, much larger than the Milky Way itself. But that's it's the largest or the furthest away object you can see with the naked eye. If you're in dark enough skies, you can see the Andromeda Galaxy with your naked eye. And it's 2 million light years away.
Here's the Andromeda.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Andromeda beautiful. Is pretty.
It's beautiful.
It's very nice.
It's beautiful. And like I said, you don't even need the telescope to see it. In fact, it's almost better to view it with binoculars than it is with a telescope. Telescope almost gets you too close.
I'm more of an NPC.
Please.
NGC 4241. That's a good one.
M51 is the Whirlpool Galaxy. That's also beautiful. M81, I think it is Bode's Galaxy. Bode's and Cigar Galaxy are right next to each other. Those are kind of pretty. But again, you need very powerful equipment to start seeing those.
Sure. This has been Dan Geeks Out.
The people are with me, Jason.
The people are with you.
Green lights, baby. Let's go.
It's pretty good. Congratulations.
We need to do maybe this fall a drive time with DeRussia stargazing night.
Oh, I like that.
I think that's a good idea.
I would come to that. And I won't be. So
you would come, but you would just be sarcastic and this isn't so interesting. You'd be that guy. You'd be heckling the whole time.
But isn't that more fun? we started this show 3 years ago on this date. Now, 715er here on the text line would like the show to end today and me to hand it over to you. I think you might not get the bit. It's all right.
It's okay, though.
It's okay. I'm embarrassing you, it says. Don't embarrass him. You embarrass yourself when you do this segment. I'm just telling you, 715, like another 3 weeks, and you might figure out what's going on.
Might get the bit.
We'll break. Should we ask people what their favorite thing about the show is right now?
I can't see why we wouldn't.
I could ask what part of the show you'd like to get rid of. You know what? You can weigh in
on
that.
You can do that, too.
That's fine. But, like, you know, let's be positive. It's Friday.
Friday, baby. Let's go.
651-461-9226. Drive time. Entering our fourth year of broadcasting excellence. Entering our fourth year of broadcasting here on CCO. Well, I was looking at the old Facebook memories today. And up popped me with a box of stuff, Dan, coming to the station on my first day.
Look at you. Man, have you aged? Radio does that to people. It's not quite being president, but it's, you know, it's similar.
That is the first show, which was June 27th, 2022. There is Vanita, who welcomed me with a bottle of bourbon. I came in to be on her show.
She gets the bit.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. First,
it's been I am so thrilled to be here. I still love what we're doing. I think we can announce that I'll be doing it for at least one more year, that the radio station, just like the Twins, picked up Rocco's team option. WCCO Radio has picked up my team option. Now, you look at this picture of me from 3 years ago. You say it's aged me. I have lost a pound or two. I look a little skinnier. I have a little more facial hair and a little more hair on the top of my head as well.
It's worked out well.
Radio has been fine.
Yeah.
On YouTube, Lethal Migraine says two things that age you the quickest, marriage and stress. I have neither and I never age. I think marriage has aged my wife. If you were married to me, she doesn't look it, but it's rough.
Not at all.
Texter says best part of the show is me.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. Miss me on morning TV. In my newsletter, which you can sign up for my newsletter if you'd like, my website, jasonderusha.com, I wrote some reflections about hitting 3 years. I think the show's better, right, Dan?
Than when we started? Absolutely.
Yeah. I did not really know what I was doing.
I don't think either of us did. But we figured it out together.
Did we? We're still working on it.
Yes, Jason, we did. Just go with it.
Cardi Sharks coming up at the top of the hour.